Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This show is about George Floyd. During a pandemic, Derek Chauvin, a Minneapolis police officer, made a bad choice. Was it in his DNA to do this? It was a twisted paradigm of anger for forcing his knee on George Floyd's neck. George Floyd was a man already handcuffed, and the crime was not substantial, but supposed to be attacked. Derek Chauvin killed George Floyd in broad daylight for the whole city and whole world to see. Yet the people who question the outrage want things to go quietly back to the way it was. They wanted to go back the way it was, or was it ever any specific way? Join Don and Pat from the NAACP. She's the co-chair and an all-star panel guest, seasoned with experience in race relations on this hot topic. We already have a guest caller, so I'm going to stop the music. First, I'm going to have Pat go. Don, her husband's on the line, and we have a caller from the 864. So I'm going to let Pat introduce the topic. The topic of the show tonight and the headliner is why police officer Derek Chauvin felt it was necessary to kill George Floyd over a $20 counterfeit bill, I might add. Good evening, Pat.
Hello.
How are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Jane. I'm doing great. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly, and I'm really happy you're on the show because I needed someone with the background to handle a topic such as this.
Okay.
We do have a guest caller, by the way, but I'm going to have you do a brief introduction, then I'm going to bring Don and the caller in.
Okay, did you want me to introduce myself as who I am and what I do? Or
sure, that would be great.
Okay, no worries. Got it.
Go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. My name is Patricia Gallimore. I am the second vice president of the Reno Sparks NAACP, which is the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. I'm former president of the branch, former four-year president. Tonight's topic is very near and dear to my heart in terms of being an activist as well as a civil rights activist. These things are very discerning and chilling in today's environment. And just as Jane was speaking of earlier in terms of the reason why that police officer thought that he should take someone's life for $20 is just unbelievable. But doing the work that I'm doing and being who and what I am, it's par for the course. It's normal. I mean, when you're talking about people that don't value other people's lives, and you know, once again, I know my husband spoke on the show several times about slavery, so I won't take you there. But you have to go back to the history of this nation. And yes, I do know that other races were held as slaves as well. But when we're talking about the United States, it's a whole different matter. And they took it to a whole different level, to the point of where they think that or feel that African Americans are not people. So when you see this officer, and I'll call him officer very nicely, taking this individual's life, it's because they have no regard for African American lives, for people of color, for Black people's lives. They don't care. And so that's pretty blatant. And obviously they don't even care to the point of they feel that they're so far above the law and that we're so far about below being people that they can do it in front of other people and think that they can get away with it. I mean, this individual, that law enforcement officer, did this while other people were watching. And saying, hey, man, you know, he can't breathe. He can't breathe. He's telling you he can't breathe. He's incapacitated. Why are you continuing to do this? And then you had other officers stand there and allow him to do that. So this is a total blatant disregard for African-American lives. And, you know, I won't even talk about all the other stuff. We'll stay on topic here and just talk about Mr. Floyd, you know, who is no longer with us.
Sure.
And
I do want to mention two things. I saw the owner of Cup, C-U-P Foods. His name's Mahmood, and he's Middle Eastern. And he, even one of the people from his store where George Floyd presented the $20 bill told the police officer to stop, that this was unnecessary. Please stop and don't hurt that man. And they didn't listen to him or the EMT person who was standing nearby to said take his pulse or any other bystanders. With that, I'm going to pull in the guest from the South Carolinian area, and then I'll pull in Don.
Okay.
And also I wanted to say Minneapolis is a very diverse city. We have thousands of immigrants from Ethiopia, Liberia, and a few from Nigeria. It's a very diverse community that normally gets along, but we were first put on the map a few years ago when Philando Castile was murdered by Geronimo Yanez. So who is this from South Carolina, please?
How is everybody?
Good. I didn't catch your name, sir.
My name is Johnny. Johnny.
Hi. We're happy to have you on the show, and this is a very important topic, and you have the floor right now.
Well, I think it is a very important topic. It is it is a topic that is missed in our education fields, right? Even, you know, when we're talking about how in some books of academia, they were trying to remove the evidence of slavery. Even after we're talking about all of the years that black folk, that Africans endured pain, suffering, no other human form has ever gone through the atrocities that African people have gone through. And that's under the hands of people like Cecil Rhodes, under in the face of people like King Napoleon, Leopold, right? So we have to be honest with ourselves when we are talking about the pride that people share for having an America, right? That is just so great, right? It says that, hey, we are great. It was done so on the backs of my black African ancestors. It's a reality. And when we see this is like this right here, George Floyd, it's not surprising. That's showing me that America is working like the finely tuned machine it was always calibrated and orchestrated to be. You understand? This is 100%.
Right.
America,
now, I do like the fact that you referenced those two white leaders in Africa, Cecil Rhodes, who was coined for the name Rhodesia, and King Leopold. I do think, for me, I've been in civil rights since 1981, but the fact of the matter is it was actually surprising to me because I live in Minnesota, and Minnesota is a diverse place, and this is a place I didn't think it would be that blatant, honestly. I really didn't think so.
Well, and to say, you know, a lot of times, you know, even though it doesn't happen where I am all the time, when that type of thing happens, it's not surprising, right? It shouldn't be surprising because in this case, this white man, they're saying now no charges are being brought on this white police that killed this black man with evidence to prove it, right?
Well, actually, they fired him. They fired four police officers. But are you saying
that the criminal charge is not existing yet? No, that's not enough. Criminal charges
have not
been brought. No, they haven't.
Yeah,
and that's the same thing that we saw. That's the same thing that we saw happen in Georgia with those two white guys that killed that black boy that was jogging. It was the good old boy system is still working more so now than ever before. It's still in, you know, it's still working. So that's the a place where our education, we claim to have a lot of knowledge and being educated. If our education doesn't allow us to see this sticking out like a sore thumb, I have to question, you know, who we've been taught by, or if we were actually taught with, you know, with a blindfold on. You understand? Because
I do think within a week with the FBI investigation, they will be charged.
And that would be great. But my question is, why isn't he charged right now? If that would have been me or you having done that to somebody in which they were in restraints already, there was no need for me to put my knee and kill him. That wouldn't have been no second guessing or no. Why would it have to be that long? That shows that something is in place that protects the crooked officer. That's 100% right now. So
you're
asking,
right. And
how
also,
my question is, how is it that you have all these white cops that have been killing black folk, and then that only to find out that another one is going to do the same thing, as if he's not afraid of consequence, and blatantly showing that? And he's been trained.
That's true.
He's not
Don,
as a civilian.
You're on the air.
He is supposed to be a professional. Police are supposed to be professionals. They aren't supposed to be novice or beginners before they're out there protecting or engaging with civilians. If so, something is terribly wrong with the system.
It is wrong, because just a few months ago, Breonna Taylor was killed in her home in Kentucky.
Right, right. That's right.
She was an essential worker, and it was a case of mistaken identity. They were trying to bust up a drug deal, and it was the wrong house. And I just want to point out that Geronimo Yanez, that killed Philando Castile in St. Paul 2 years ago or 3 years ago, he was not white. He was Latino. I just wanted to point that out. Don, you're on the air as well.
Hey, Jane. Hey, everyone.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, no.
By the way, for our guest, Pat was our featured guest tonight, and this is her husband, Don. Don, you don't get to be the featured guest again.
That's all right. It's been 5+ years, so we've been going strong. The guest right now, the gentleman, I didn't get his name. I'm sorry. What's your name, sir?
My name is Johnny. My name is Johnny.
Johnny, okay. Well, Johnny, you were on point when you said that this is nothing new. That's pretty much one of the first things that came out of your mouth, and that was true. This is something that this is peanuts compared to the marches and other civil disobedience acts that I was involved in back in the 60s and 70s pretty much all my life. Again, like my wife, she was the president. I was the second vice president that passed. Secretary
of the NAACP. I don't know if he caught the whole intro.
Yeah, the NAACP. And we're also members of the Police Advisory Board, Reno State 360, and the Green River committees that work with police, and as a citizens committee. So we take the information and the news that we get in our meetings and take it back out to the community. It's not so much that we're supporting police and their actions. It's that we want to make sure that everybody knows why the police are there in particular situations, so that they maybe have a heads up on how they're supposed to act. We also sponsor and are sponsored by police departments all over Washoe County for events and things that bring the community and the police together, and try to make sure that we all live in peace. One of the things that I do, I've been instrumental on, is community policing. My mom was a policewoman, she was the first black policewoman in the state of Wisconsin. And so her basic prototype was community policing. And that's where you go door to door and know your constituents, your community, and make sure that they know you and know that you're there to help them in times of need. There's very little adversarial work that was done. This is back in the 40s, 50s, so early 50s. So that brought her home safely at night. And that's one of the things that I have been a proponent of, is community policing and the benefits of it, in that the community is more comfortable with the police and vice versa. Minneapolis is just a throwback to the times that we had back in the 60s. And I was never a member of the violent part of the activities, but I did make sure that they my presence was known. So, these are little
great,
baby steps. Yeah, these
Can
are
I jump in
steps.
A minute, Don? Breaking news. The protesters have broken into the Minneapolis Police Department, 3rd Precinct. The cops evaluated, and they've set fire to fire to it.
Right, no, that's been
That's too bad.
I'm not trying to laugh, but it's overwhelming. Like, they've already burned 16 buildings, including a whole condominium complex that was being built. And now the National Guard's been called in, but it's a case of too little too late. I mean, they'll be there tomorrow, but the police have already evacuated, and part of the precinct's on fire.
Right, and that's what you call retribution, and the only way to get rid of retribution is with some kind of peace offering, and those peace offerings in this day and time are, can we all say it together? Can we all say it at once?
Reparations.
Yay, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to say it, but.
By the way, at the end of the night, I'm going to read a vigil to all the people who have died recently from black protests. Mm. I mean, from white cops.
The thing is that when I make speeches, I try to go into the feelings of the black citizens, you know, United States citizens, been here as long as anyone. And,
Wade's on the line, and Johnny dropped the call.
And
who was Johnny? Was Johnny the guy?
The guy from South Carolina.
Yeah.
Too bad. He was sick.
Yeah.
But
I'm not sure why he dropped.
That's all right. He might call back. There are numerous reasons. This is something that it's a given hatred from the white man to blacks in this country. And black man has stood up very well to the hatred that's been perpetrated against him. And now it's coming towards a new day where people are going to have to understand that blacks have just as much to give back to America and the American citizenry as anybody else. We have more rights than anybody else. And once people get used to that understanding, then there'll be a little more peace and love. But right now, there's a culture of adversarialism that is tantamount to war. And that's what you're seeing in Minneapolis right now.
Yeah, because to me, you know, if I can just cut in for just a second and I'll shut up again. But to me,
sure.
I have to disagree with you in terms of you saying that Minneapolis has lived. You've lived as a white woman. So how can you judge and how can you know that Minneapolis, in terms of if it was a black person that was living there, it could be an entirely different living place. And it has been, because if that's not the case, we got two killings of African Americans, too. And to me, because I'm not from there, there's something going on there. There's definitely something going
You're
on.
You're right,
gone,
Pat, and I need to clarify it by saying I'm not any higher up the ranks as far as diversity than anybody else, but I did attend an all-black university in North Carolina when I was 19 because I wanted to.
I don't make you black, baby.
I know. I wanted to explore and I wanted to help eradicate race problems in America.
Sure.
And I was a white cracker who was idealistic.
And
I always cared about race relations, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but I cared. But the only thing that I'm flabbergasted that they burned the police station down. Like, I've never, not even in L.A. after the Rodney King riots did anybody go that far. So I know I sound naive, Pat, when I say that, but I do think Minneapolis, you have to understand, we're in the upper Midwest, and we have the largest concentration of Africans. Probably.
And they still live, and they're still, and I'm talking about African Americans, which is different than Africans.
I'm
but
talking about Africans too, like Liberians.
Yeah, but I'm talking, and I need you to understand that there's a difference between African Americans and Africans, and that's another thing. But here's my thing, and then I'll be quiet for a while because I do get a little bit militant, and I do get a little bit, I get very, very passionate. You have to understand my passion. What I need you to do at some point, Jane, is I need you to become black woman. Become a black woman. Come to my world. Walk in my shoes. And this is what I get upset when Don's on these calls with you all. I need you guys to understand, and you all or whatever you want to call it, because I have to also be cognizant of other people's genders, okay? So you all need to understand the plight of African Americans. And the plight of that being is that, okay, if you want to see what we're dealing with, then allow us to speak, allow us to talk, and allow us to educate you. Don't shut us down. But listen, as well as not only listening, come and walk a mile in our shoes. You remember Alex Baldwin? He wrote a book called Black Like Me.
Yeah.
And you know what he did? He painted himself black and got himself a little curly black wig. And he went into the white community as a black person, and he actually saw the difference. And the difference
the book called Black Like Me?
Black Like Me was written by this individual, okay? And that's what he did. And it's not a fiction novel. It's nonfiction. He actually
mean to say novel. I read it when I was about between 20 and 25.
Yeah. And he actually saw there is a big difference between African Americans and white people. And the only way that you're going to understand that is that you have to walk in their shoes. As I said, yes, you can go to a black university and you can fuck a black man, but that ain't going to make you be black. And I have to say that being an African-American female, it's different for me than being an African-American male. There's a difference between me and my husband, and there's a difference between the way folks look at us. And then we have to also take it all the way back to slavery, and I know that Don does this all the time. Every time that I go out, and I do go out in public speak, the first thing I do is I have to educate people. 1964, 1965. Okay, we did not get civil rights nor the right to vote into those years. That's in my lifetime. But people don't understand that. They don't know the education, why history is not in history books. And that's what the other gentleman, before he left the line, he tried to say that as well, is that history is not being correctly reported and recorded and given out to other people. Yes, you can go. It's very ignorant to say that, I attended a black university. Let me tell you something. If you did that in a room full of people from the NAACP, they would tear your ass to smithereens. The reason being such is that very demeaning to us as being African Americans is to say, to hear a white person say, I went to a black university so I could see.
Well,
that's
the reason I said that is because you when you framed a certain sentence, acted like I wasn't empathetic.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know. I was not saying that you're not empathetic. I'm not accusing you of being such.
I was trying from where Minneapolis was 40 years ago, where it was 96% white, to now it's like 70% white, there's been a lot of changes. And we welcomed Ethiopian and Liberian refugees from war.
And I will take you back. You're not hearing what I said. Ethiopians and Nigerians are not African American. There is a big difference between the two.
I know that.
That's three. Okay? So once again, you might you guys might welcome those individuals, but are you welcoming the individuals that were brought over from slavery? And I'm not saying you. I'm saying your community of people. And we know that it's not true. If it was true, then we wouldn't see all of this racism, not just where you live, but throughout the entire country of the United States. And it has, and it does have, we do have to break it down. And that's the reason why I dislike the term people of color, because it puts us all in one thing. But I will tell you, African Americans are totally different than the Ethiopians, the other group that you were speaking of as well, because we deal with a lot of African Americans, Africans that are from Africa, because we're descendants of Africa, but we're not from Africa per se. And you have to understand that there is a totally different way that those individuals see us, and a totally different way that the United States of America or white people view Africans as opposed to African
Americans. I understand. And I was trying to comment on growing up and living in Minnesota. I thought to say that any Minnesotan is above racism, but one question that Wade is on the line too.
I'm quiet now.
And I wanted to direct this question to you and Don and Wade. Do you think this one cop, who happens to be named Derek Chauvin, which is kind of funny because I could call him chauvinistic, but do you think this one cop who did this cockeyed in public and killed this man, do you think it's the exception or part of the systemic racism that the Johnny from South Carolina was talking about? Can someone take that question?
Well,
Wade, you can
somebody go. Somebody speak up. Somebody go ahead. Somebody else speak up. I've talked enough.
Well, Wade, first of all, are you familiar with this murder that's caused riots?
Yeah. I mean, I've pulled up statistics on race and murder. And, the main problem is we're having a lot of trouble with authoritarianism in this country right now.
You mean like the cops being too authoritarian?
And the politicians and the leaders and, unfortunately we need people getting into politics to control the politicians is a problem. Now the statistics I've looked at has shown, I guess this year is just beginning. Actually has shown some of the deaths dropping a little bit. But pretty much every race is getting, there's plenty of cases of death from cops from all the different races. I don't believe, like Don's saying, I've grown up as a white person. I've been around white people. No, white people in general do not have it in for the black community. We're not all like spending our time, no, that's not true. Are there racist white people? Absolutely. But that is not part of our identity and culture to dislike black people.
And you grew up in San Diego, and that's an area where
and
it's
I grew
not
up in San Diego.
Racism
and most
is,
of the worst
I mean,
problems
that type
are
of,
in the liberal cities.
Which one?
Yeah.
Los Angeles?
What's up? That's what I was, a liberal hippie. But,
Pat doesn't know Wade, but by the way, Pat, Wade is an airline attendant, but he has a bachelor's in theater from USC, and he taught in Korea for 9 years.
Okay.
He's my former roommate, and we know each other from Hollywood Presbyterian. But, Wade, what do you think specifically about Minneapolis is a Midwestern city, which a lot of people have always considered state of the art. Like, we're big on culture, theater, and arts.
Mm-hmm.
They sink a lot of money in the. It's like they used to call it the Minneapolis. It was like the New York of the Midwest, and now it has a stain on it because of the Philando Castile murder a few years ago, and now this. And what do you think of protesters invading the third precinct and setting it on fire and the police running home? Like, what do you think of these types of protests?
That's the place you should attack. I mean, I hate hearing, when I hear about just local businesses. Like, why are you attacking local business? If you're mad at the police, go after the police. Oh, shoot, I'm going to get in trouble saying that. But, right, I mean, that's who the beef is with, right? And, you know, so it makes more sense, like, you know, this is your enemy. You're going to attack. Don't attack other people to try to get at your enemy. Attack your enemies, you know.
You know what severely bothered me, you guys, is the first night of protests, the protesters hadn't even done anything, and the cops were on the roof of the precinct with rubber bullet guns and the chemical spray that burns people's eyes. Like, they were ready for the fight, and they were going to fight dirty. It wasn't going to be ever a peaceful protest. Anybody can go now. Don't worry about hogging the floor.
From their perspective, it makes sense, too. I mean, it's like they're like, okay, people are coming for us. Let's be ready.
Well, I guess they felt like they were on the defense because about 100 protesters found out where that Derek Chauvin lived, and they stood in front of his house, and he tried to order 3 delivery food trucks, and they wouldn't let the delivery food people in the house. And then today there was like 50 police officers guarding his house.
Yeah, I do want to agree with something Don said. He was talking about local police. I was researching something where, you know, at one point they decided to centralize it. And you know, my opinion of centralizing things is always. So Don was pointing out earlier when I got on the phone about how the police should be local. And yes, I think we would be in huge agreement on that. When the police are part of the community, they're, you know, then, okay, then be there to defend your community. Don't send police into other communities. You know, have police there to defend their community.
Yeah, and Don,
yeah.
Don was talking about the community relations that him and Pat have established with their local police.
Yeah.
Which I think is state of the art.
Yeah, Don was
good.
Also talking about community policing, which was in President Obama's 21st Century Task Force and policing that he had put into place. And basically, it's where there's a relationship and attachment with the police and law enforcement in the community, which means that we are one, right? And you know, it's a big deal because. If you're a cop, if you have a police officer living in the same neighborhood and you guys are neighbors, you guys know each other and you have a relationship,
yep.
You know,
yep.
Me and the chief of police, Jason Soto, I have his cell number. Okay. I can call him if there's an issue, but I respect the boundaries. But if, you know, me being a former president of the NAACP, as well as now a second vice president, those are the relationships that we build. So when they're looking for law enforcement, you want your community to in terms of your law enforcement, you also reflect your community. So, you know, you want African-Americans on that force, you want Filipinos, you want Asians, you want everybody, Latinos, you want everybody on law enforcement. And when there's a meeting, as a matter of fact, I got an email from his office today asking us to have a Zoom call in regards to all the things that are happening within the nation, not here in this community, but around. So we can have a roundtable. We're going to sit there and we're going to discuss and say, you know, and talk about what happened and why it happened or why we think it didn't happen or what went wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that can only make our community here better. You know, I'm all about change. I am a little bit, you know, I've seen the Rots riots. I lived down the streets when that happened. We didn't live when they had the 1992 riots or whenever it was in Los Angeles. I'm from Southern California. I live in South Central LA. So, yes. The reason I've always been involved in civil rights, I was born in to speak with, you know, when I speak, it is with a passion. When we talk about the disconnect, and as I was saying, it wasn't a dig at anyone. There is a disconnect in the community, as if it wasn't between law enforcement and the people, or this would not have occurred. And I understand this, you know, there's not everybody's racist. Hell, I'm racist. I'll say it straight up. I have some racism in me as well. But I'm born into it. We all have somewhat of a little bit of racism. You know, and I don't have a problem with stating that. If you know that, then you can educate yourself and be able to live in that world and live with other individuals. You know, as I said, being an African-American female, being an African-American, period. I was very, very privileged growing up. Okay, so I understand both sides of it, and I look at it, you know, with a lens. And when I see this happening and it occurring, and it keeps occurring over and over and over with my African American and my Black brothers and sisters, it's very, very scary when I have four kids and I have six grandchildren, and after that and going on into the future. And this is something that's not new in this nation, and we have to recognize it. We have to recognize it, and we have to look at it, for what it is. And we can go get statistical data. We can go look at all the trends. We can change the name. But, you know, we have to look at it. And at some point, we have to say, okay, when's enough and enough? And I have to say the individual that's in leadership right now is really fueling some of this as well, because with that individual being in leadership and being the leader of our country and some of the things that he said.
You mean Donald Trump?
Yeah, I can't say his name. Sorry, but yeah, I'll agree with what you just said, you know.
Okay.
And the way that he speaks, and if you don't think that's hatred, I don't know what is, okay? And it's not just geared toward African-Americans. I won't say that. But it has spawned and brought out things in people to say that it's okay. When you have, you know, saying it's okay. And I don't care what people say or whatever. They can say whatever they want to say about President Obama. We didn't have that, okay? There's a whole different climate. And I can feel it, and I know others can feel it as well. And you know, we've kind of, you know, there's a little thing right now with the NAACP. Our little saying is that enough is enough. We're not going to take it anymore. We're not going to take it anymore.
We do have a caller, I think, from St. Louis, but one thing that was surprisingly good that happened this week is I took a second job in another group home, and I was working with he called himself a patriot. He owns 19 guns. But when he talked about George Lloyd, he was very honest. He said, that man was killed in broad daylight. Like, he didn't mince it. He didn't try to defend law enforcement. And there were several other, now I know this may sound cheesy to Pat, but there were several other, I'm up here way by Lake Superior where, you know, there's not a big, I'd say the Black presence up here is maybe one out of every 30 people. So for other white people to come forward that live like in lake property in rural areas and defend the atrocity of this crime was really a positive sign for me. As trivial as it sounds to other people, but it was a positive sign. But I do like what you said about Los Angeles and the fabric of, like, growing up in L.A., several of my friends were in the Rodney King riots, and the police did not come for days, and their lives were threatened, all my friends of all different colors. And we've done several shows on that era, plus the Daryl Gates era, where he endorsed the chokehold method, which ended up costing the city a lot of money through lawsuits. We've covered a lot of these topics over and over, and Pat's right, it is disheartening when you see it happening again and again. And with that, I'm going to take in this caller. I think it might be someone we know usually. Who's calling from the 313?
Hello, my name is Joel.
Hi, Joel. What city
are you calling from? I'm currently calling from Detroit right now, but, you know,
okay.
I've been around a lot. You know, I was born and raised in West Philadelphia, and I've mainly gone between Bel Air and West Philadelphia. You know, this is the story all about how, you know, my life kind of got flipped and turned upside down. And especially when it came to, you know, George Floyd, it really has been turned upside down, especially living in Detroit. You know, it's not as bad as Minneapolis, but it's starting to escalate to the point of Minneapolis, you know?
You mean the protests?
Yeah, the protests.
Well,
okay, when you say that you vacillated between Pennsylvania and Michigan, are you trying to say your life has been affected by racism?
No. I'm saying I've been between West Philadelphia, which is, in West Philadelphia, it's mainly full of a lot of Italians and stuff, right? And in Bel Air, because I used to go to Bel Air for a lot of business trips because I work for an IT company, you know, and I have to go out to Silicon Valley a lot. And most of the time they would get me hotels in the Bel Air area of LA, right? And it was just a really big culture shock because growing up in this predominantly white Italian neighborhood, you know, I would go out to LA, right? And it would just mainly be, you know, a lot of people begging, like people of color, you know, and it was just really a big shock to me because, you know, in West Philadelphia, I was mainly taught that only white people were poor and white people were only struggling. And, you know, I would spend most of my days on the playground chilling out, Max and relaxing all cool and shooting some b-ball outside of the school, you know. Even though West Philadelphia has a pretty big black population, like, it's very separated, you know. Everyone has their own culture groups. But in Bel Air, everyone just kind of merges together, and it's predominantly black.
Hey, by the way, all four of us on the phone tonight, Don, Pat, Wade, and I have all lived in L.A. for long periods of time, so...
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of homelessness there, but in Bel Air where you were staying, there's people of many cultures, including Middle Eastern.
Yeah, I know that, but it's just mainly I've never really seen a big concentrated group of people of color. Like I just said people of color. I wasn't talking about mainly black people, and I just really saw these people of color struggling in these major cities. Like Philadelphia is a major city, but it's nothing comparable to LA and stuff like that. And with these Minneapolis riots going on, you know, it's just like with it seeing escalating, especially right now I'm chilling in Detroit, you know, it's just I might as well put my Walkman on and might as well kick it,
you
know.
Or surprising?
It's surprising. It's not frightening me. Like people struggling isn't gonna scare me, you know, and I sympathize with them, you know. It's just really hard to, you know, be afraid of a movement against, you know, an evil action, you know. I get why the officer did it.
Why do you think he had to hold his neck down for 8 minutes with his knee?
I get why the guy was already handcuffed. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I get why he did it, but definitely I think people should get change, you know. This police department query needs to be looked in so that a couple of guys that are up to no good can't start making trouble in neighborhoods, especially cops, you know.
Well, that's what happened in Ferguson. Obama ordered a federal study to be done, and they found out that black people, over 75% of the city revenue came from oppressing people with traffic violations and harassing them, and a lot of things were discovered. Also, there was a federal task force when Tamir Rice got killed in Cleveland, and there were major changes done to those police departments. So I'm hoping the same thing will happen.
Do you honestly think our current president is going to step in and do that? No, he's just going to call in National Guard if the governor won't, which I'm pretty sure he has. And
well, Governor Waltz in Minnesota just called in the National Guard already. They arrived this evening.
No.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're not going to do anything.
Well, all I know is, like I was telling Pat, because I'm from Minnesota and I lived in Minneapolis several years, I do think that it was an unusual place for it to happen, but it only takes one person with poor decision-making as law enforcement to ruin it for everybody. And now we have another caller from the 585. Who's the area?
Just one moment. I just got to say one more thing, though.
If niggers
are
going to
get mad, then they can
colors.
Have their necks stomped in. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, fuck niggers, white power, you know?
Ooh.
You guys, I already knew that guy from the minute he called was a phony because he said that the only people he ever heard of were poor, were white people. Like, what? Why do people have to...
Who's ever
this is what's fucking wrong with this country, is that caller just now. And
no,
by the way, there's
no,
only,
no.
there's only like two hotels in Bel Air, so I already kind of knew he was full of shit.
No, but you're not getting it. You still don't get it. That's the norm rather than the exception, Jamie. That's why we're in this situation in the first place. That is the norm.
So
that's why we have gated communities. That's why we have redlining. That's why we have these high home prices to keep people who are not financially acceptable out. This is a norm, Jane. You don't understand. Still, you don't understand.
Well, for someone who's idealistic like me, it's depressing to know that there's more than maybe 5% of Americans who behave like that. But I want to find out who this caller is from the 585.
No.
Wait, John.
95% of Americans feel that way.
Okay.
No, I've
no, I disagree, Don. I think it's under 30%. Can we ask who this? Hi, this is Jane from Blog Talk Radio, Political Gravity. We have 5 callers on the line. What's your name?
Yep. My name
Hi,
is
my
two.
Name is James
right
Stetson.
Your name is what?
Jim Stenson.
Okay, hi, Jim. What's going on? We'd like to hear your opinion on what's going on in Minneapolis.
Personally, it is...
I muted you by mistake because I have 2 guest callers.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. My take on the Indianapolis situation is Minneapolis is they're doing an okay stance of protesting because personally it's an unjust killing. The man was brutally killed practically.
Right.
I don't think that many of the protesters should be pretty much reliving what happened in the 90s, if you know, like about the LA riots.
Correct.
I don't want them to keep doing that. I want them to do more of a peaceful protest, you know, still taking a stance, you know, providing the justice that is needed, you know, the cop being brought to justice for the unjustified killing. But I don't think they should be running around and breaking into people's stores and stuff. I don't think they should be doing that.
I know. I feel like I have friends who were at the Ground Zero of that protest last night, and they said that there was only a handful of people, maybe like 10% out of the 100% that were acting violently and ransacking stores. But they, on the first night, they said they were some of those people who became violent were provoked by police rubber bullets and tear gas. And by the way, we still
possibly
have a 585 caller who I have not brought in, but go ahead and talk 313 till you get your points made.
All right. Provoked, yes. It can be shown that the individuals may have been provoked by a police presence due to the rubber bullets and tear gas being thrown at them. But what can cause the reaction of the police throwing tear gas and shooting rubber bullets at the protesters? Them being violent at the protest.
I think that's what we were talking about earlier. The police took a defensive stand before people could even begin to protest. They were already on the roof of the police precinct with guns and rubber bullets. Like, it seemed like it was going to be a war from the minute it started. Secondly, we have
true.
A black, the mayor of St. Paul is black. His name is Melvin Carter. The Minneapolis police chief is black. The mayor is not black. He's a Virginia retransplant named Jacob Fry. But it does seem like in this case no one listened to authority figures.
It's shown. Personally, I think that the protesters in Minneapolis should take a more peaceful stance. And the
I'm
police
hoping that
officer
will happen. I thought maybe it would blow over after 48 hours.
It'll blow over after 72 hours, and there is no such thing as a peaceful stance anymore. African Americans have been peaceful stancing for 400 years now, and it's pretty much over. What we're trying to do as African Americans is make this as peaceful as we can. 16 stores and a police station are minimal collateral damage.
Don, there's been about 15 more stores burned since then. They moved into the Midway area between St. Paul and Minneapolis. Jeez. And now all 30 Target stores are on lockdown and like 16 Walmart stores.
That's all right. They have the money from all the profits they've been deriving from the African American community, so they can with their insurance policies, they'll be all right.
All right. This is
Can I jump in?
We have a caller from the 585. Could you at least introduce yourself?
Yeah, you can call me John. My name is John. But I want to jump in here real quick. I can't believe you guys are all making this about race. I mean, honestly, it's ridiculous. Somebody a minute ago even blamed the president for this, saying that the president caused this to happen. How the hell can you say something like that? Police brutality was at its highest peak when Obama was president. Now, let's forget about the fact that the police, I agree that there's been a lot of videos that has been escalating, showing that police attack and kill black people, but it's not just blacks. They also kill white. It's beyond race. It's beyond. If you guys get out your mind and your race stupidness, you will see that this is an issue about police ego. It's the police. They got an ego. You can't argue with a cop. If you argue back, they escalate it even farther. And what makes it crazy is they have the ability to kill you. So when you see
did you know that George Floyd did not resist arrest? They released three different camera angles. He did not resist arrest.
We know that, Jane.
But this guy on the line might not know that.
Well,
I do know this, and he did a little bit resist arrest. But that's not my point. The point is the fact that the police officers are just, they have this mentality that whatever they say goes. It doesn't matter your race, mm-hmm. your sex, or anything. I've seen police videos where a police officer took an old lady, 80 years old, and body slammed her in the parking lot of a Walmart.
Yep.
And she was white. It doesn't matter your race, your age, your sex. When you're given that much power, you're going to abuse it, period. And that's why this is happening so much. The solution to all this is we need to find a way to police the police, period. I'm sorry.
That's a good point.
No, but
you didn't mention where you were calling from or your name.
My name is John. I'm from upstate New York, and I'm glad that the riot is happening. I hope they burn the whole fucking city down to stop this crap. It needs to be done because peace is not working. Peace is not working. There's so many peaceful protests that doesn't go anywhere. It's time to say, hey, wait a second. We can't take it anymore and just burn the whole fucking city down if need be. I'm sorry for cursing. You can take over. My bad.
I'm kind of proud of your bravery.
And by the way, they burned down the police. They burned down most of the third precinct tonight in Minneapolis.
Jay,
they took it over and burned it.
You motherfuckers hear me? I guess not.
Yeah, we can hear you, Don. Go ahead.
No, John is right. And a lot of what he just said, this is not to officers or former officer Skolinski or whatever his name is. He wasn't necessarily doing that because the gentleman was black. He was doing it because he thought he had the power to do it. That's the main reason that he had his knee on this guy's neck with his hands in his pocket for more stability on his neck. And more or less touting the cameras that he had this power. That's what ultimately it is in some of the long run, the figures. But in a lot of instances, it is going after a person of a particular race, because that's a moniker, that's a notch on their gun, that's a, you know, that another ribbon on their bed. And so that's, you know, it's a combination of all of what John just said. And the gentleman before him, what was his name? What's your name, sir? Because
Is he gone?
Well, anyway, because he took, seemed like he was taking offense to the fact that progress is, you know, kind of being made again. We're going back to the old way of doing things. You know, just like we're getting ready to send another spaceship up after a decade, it takes people time to get their feet back on the ground. But this is a, this is going to possibly be a prelude, a trial run, practice for what may be in store for the rest of some of the large portions of the country.
I could point out, well, as far as collateral damage, I know it's a term like in war, where, you know, innocent bystanders get hurt, or, you know, there's other people. When you talk about handling things in a moral way, collateral damage is something that's, you know, should only be, well, shouldn't, you know, you try for it not to exist, and you certainly don't have it on purpose. So I totally get burning down the precinct. I don't get, oh, let's attack this grocery store. Like, if the grocery store wasn't part of what they're mad at, you know, you don't attack
somebody. Well, they're mad at
somebody.
They're mad at the grocery store owner that called the police in the first place over a forged $20 bill.
Okay, well, okay, then that makes more sense. But not like, oh, here's a store, let's burn it down. You know, you anytime you want to fight something, you fight what. You focus on what your opponent is. You don't make it everybody else, because then you just make everybody else mad at you, and you lose a lot of support.
Good point, Wade. Do you have any more comments, John?
The thing is, sometimes a peaceful protest is quiet. Nobody hears you because you're not making anything to make a controversy, something that's shouting. And doing this is shouting, letting the whole world, not just that city, the whole country, and hopefully the whole world see this stuff. But if you're protesting really quiet, nobody hears you. Sometimes you have to do things like this to make your point across, period. And real quick about President Trump, again, one last thing, and then I'm going to let out. This year, the past couple of years, a lot of people have been let out of prison. Majority of them are black. Why? Because Trump did it. Trump worked with Kanye West to get black people out of prisons for crimes of the past. For instance, marijuana. The laws of marijuana have changed from the laws before. If you had a pound of marijuana, that was a felony way back in the days. It's not like that anymore. But President Trump worked with Kanye West to change the rules. That's why you're seeing more and more people let out of prisons. So this whole thing about Trump being a racist, let's end that right now. And that's this whole thing about police brutality against just a specific race is okay. I mean, I'm cool with the Black Lives Matter movement, but just understand that they kill more than just black people. And that police officer was not all of them were white. That if you look carefully at the video, there was an Asian person in there too, and he was just as dumb as the other three. Thank you for having
me
on your show.
That's true. He stood there and did nothing.
Yeah, some good points. And I agree with him that sometimes peaceful protest isn't enough. What you don't do is you don't purposely victimize people, innocent third parties. You don't say, okay, I was, abused by my parents. Now I'm gonna kick the dog. You know, you directly fight who was making you a victim. Because otherwise,
and that's what they did tonight. They decided to pull back from attacking private businesses and going straight to the epicenter of where their anger began.
And I don't blame those people.
We are only going to do like a 75-minute show tonight. I am happy that we had four guest callers. We had two from Detroit, one from New York,
mm-hmm.
and I forgot where the other one from South Carolina. So I am pretty proud of the fact that we had a lot of people interested. I do kind the other caller hung up, and I do slightly disagree with him on the fact that, yes, cops kill other people of other races, but there's been a pattern with African-American killings unjust. And after I read this post, you'll understand why. I'm going to start it right now. I have privilege as a white person because I can do all these things without thinking about it twice. And by the way, for every name I mention, they're dead. I can go jogging, hashtag Ahmaud Arbery. I can relax in the comfort of my home. Botham, Sean, Atania, Jefferson, and Breonna Taylor. I can ask for help after being in a car crash. Jonathan Farrell and Renisha McBride. I can have a cell phone, Stefan Clark. I can leave a party to get home safely, Jordan Edwards. I can play loud music, Jordan Davis. I can sell CDs on a corner, Alton Sterling. I can sleep, Ayanna Jones. I can walk to the corner store, Michael Brown. I can play cops and robbers, Tamar Rice. I can go to church, Charleston 9. I can walk home with Skittles, Trayvon Martin. I can hold a hairbrush while leaving my own bachelor party, Sean Bell. I can party on New Year's, Oscar Grant. I can get a normal traffic ticket, Sandra Bland. I can lawfully carry a weapon, Philando Castile. I can break down a public road with my car with problems, Corey Jones. I can shop at Walmart, John Crawford. I can have a disabled vehicle, Terrence Krutchner. I can read a book in my own car, Keith Scott. I can be a 10-year-old walking with my grandfather, Clifford Glover. I can decorate for a party, Claude Reese. I can ask a police officer a question, Randy Evans. I can cash a check in peace, Yvonne Smallwood. I can take out my wallet, Amadou Diallo. I can run, Walter Scott. I can breathe, Eric Garner. I can live, Freddie Gray. I can ask someone to put a leash on their dog when it is required in the public park, Christian Cooper. I can be arrested without the fear of being murdered, George Floyd. Let's have one moment of silence for all those people who died in vain. Any more thoughts for the evening?
This is Patricia. This is Pat again.
Okay.
And just to say one thing about the law enforcement there and then some of them not being a white guy that killed Mr. Floyd. There's a code with law enforcement. And whether you black, white, green, or indifferent, if you're a law enforcement officer, if you break that code, then you become one of you're just like the same thing happens to you. So yeah, there might have been a person that you know that just stood there and watched them kill him. You can't break their code, and that's something that no one has touched on as well. That law enforcement has that code, and once you're in there with them, you can't break that, or you're seen as the enemy as well. And
question the other officer's action while the event is taking place, right?
Exactly. Otherwise, you know, it's gonna be bad for them. You know, we watch all these cop shows, but that stuff is real. There's a code in there, and it's very, very real. And you know, America it's a scary place. And yes, I know, you know, statistically wise, of course, you know, we're seeing that there's been so many, you know, black people that have been killed, you know, it's disheartening when you are black and these are your people that are being killed. I understand that there are other, you know, white folks are being killed. The other races are being killed as well. We have to remember our humanity and, mm-hmm. and hopefully, you know, we will all come together as one, but it does take people. It takes the people and it takes the people, you know, I always implore people, if you want to get into it and get it right and get it tight, then you join the NAACP, which is the oldest, the boldest, the baddest civil rights organization there is in this country. And we try to handle it, and we try to go up against things. And no, I do not condone going out and destroying and defacing property and looting, because that's not going to bring this individual that's gone. It's not going to bring him back. And that's not mm-hmm. the reason why he was murdered. And we have to stay on topic. We have to remember the issue of why this actually occurred to this African American man and why those other individuals did not approach him. So we got a lot of work to do, and that's all. I appreciate you all allowing me to be on the show.
You did a great job. I'm glad that you really fine-tuned the points and corralled us all back to focus on the right topics. And I really appreciate your call tonight.
Thank you, Don
and Wade,
thing.
For joining us. And I'm going to end the show, okay? With John's song.
Good night.
You all did a great job. I hope that a lot of people listen to this podcast, and I'll be transferring it to YouTube. Thank you.
Bye, Drew.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.